All right, you can be seated. Man, it's good to be with you tonight. Some of you know who I am and maybe saw me at an event that maybe we partnered together with over the years. I've had the privilege of speaking here a few times. And man, it's good to be with you all tonight. This is such an exciting time. I'm excited for you. And it made me think, I thought of a lot of different things that I could share with you tonight on this significant Sunday evening in the life of City Life. But I thought of this question first. Have you ever had a moment so significant that you didn't want to forget it? Now, I hope when I ask that question, everybody's shaking their head yes, especially if you're married, okay? Because at minimum, you should be saying when you got married. Just so you know a little bit about me, and my wife Lori's here tonight as well, sitting in the front next to Matt and Miriam. So we just had our son graduate high school. So we've got two kids. We've got a daughter, Lily, who just finished her sophomore year in college, and we've got a son, Lucas, who just finished high school. So listen, I'm not even going to be 50, and I've got two kids out of the house, and like we're going to be empty nesters. I know some of you are jealous right now. But I'll just be transparent with you. I was literally in the Joel there in Winston, which is literally, you can see our building from there in Winston-Salem. And, you know, you got almost 400 kids graduating. And I was just like, honestly, I was thinking, like, how long is this thing going to be? Because it was at 8 a.m., so we were the first round of high schoolers to go through that. They had a busy day, and honestly, I was just thinking, how long is this going to be? Is this going to be 3 hours, or is this going to be short? And all of a sudden, they started playing that song that I don't even know what the title is. It's just that, dun, 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 you know, that graduation song? And all of a sudden, I got hit with this wave of emotion out of nowhere, and there I am, standing, crying, because my son all of a sudden, shockingly, is graduating for high school. That's a moment, that's a significant moment fresh in my mind that I hope I never forget. And every one of us have that, whether it's our anniversary of getting married, whether it's a child that has just recently been born, or if you're like me, you've got two kids that are now grown adults and you're thinking about how quick time has passed. But if we're not careful, the things that shape our faith can easily become a faded memory. The things that were so significant that at one time had such a massive impact on our life, if we're not careful, can become a faded memory. So I just want us to recognize again what Matt just said a few moments ago. This is the last Sunday night of meeting in this building. Can we put our hands together again and praise God for that? Like, I literally thought about, after saying that, running around this room, but you don't know me well enough, and you may not listen to another thing that I say. Like, I'm excited. That's a significant moment in the life of this church. But I'm telling you, it's going to easily become a faded memory. Another Sunday, and another Sunday after that, and another Sunday after that, and there'll be people that won't even know that you met at Mercy Hill for a few months on a Sunday evening. They won't even know that. And so what I want to do is I want you to turn in your Bibles to Joshua 3 and 4. And we're going to look at probably for most of us a pretty familiar passage of Scripture if you grew up in church at all. But Joshua 3 and 4 is such a powerful passage of Scripture. And honestly, as I was praying about, okay, God, what do you want me to give City Light on this significant moment in the life of their church? God brought me to this passage of Scripture. Because what God does in this passage of Scripture that for most of us is probably very familiar is he doesn't just perform a miracle. He commands his people to remember. To remember. In fact, when we walk through this story, we don't have time, obviously, to walk through two entire chapters, so don't get nervous. But as we just look at key verses in these two chapters, you will actually find that what's emphasized more than the miracle of crossing the Jordan River is the command for his people to remember. Because remembering isn't just about nostalgia. That's not what we're going to be talking about tonight. Like, oh, I just got nostalgia about that. You know, when I remember this, it makes me feel a certain way. It's about nurturing your trust. Your trust in God. Your obedience. And it's also about nurturing and compelling you to think about that everyone in this room is called to leave a legacy for others behind you. That's why we remember. That's what God wanted with the children of Israel. So let me just give you an overview of Joshua 3 and 4, because I don't want to take for granted that there may be somebody in here who's like, Johnny, I have no idea what Joshua 3 and 4, the story is. And if that's you, man, that's super encouraging to me, because you're going to hear it for the first time. But what God does in this passage of scripture is he miraculously leads the children of Israel across the Jordan River into the promised land. So God's promised them this land. Joshua is now the leader of the children of Israel. He's taken the baton from Moses, who has led them up to this point. Moses has died, and now they come to this Jordan River that stands before them and everything that God has promised them. And as they come to this Jordan River, God tells Joshua something. He's like, hey, I want the priests, the spiritual leadership of the church, I want them to lead first and take the Ark of the Covenant, which represents the presence of God, and I want their feet to step into the Jordan River first. And when their feet step into the Jordan River first, then the Jordan's going to part. And then the people of Israel are going to cross on dry land. But as the people of Israel are crossing on dry land, here's what I want them to do. I want one man from each tribe, and there was 12 tribes of Israel, to take a stone from the riverbank of this Jordan River that these people will cross. And I want them to stack those stones when they walk across as a lasting reminder that the same God who parted the Jordan River is the same one who will continue to lead, who continue to provide, and who will continue to call his people to follow him and obey him. And so that's what we're going to look at tonight. So if you're taking notes, here's the title of the message: Fuel the Future with God's Faithfulness. What I want you to see, City Light, is that the things that God has taken you through up to this point, individually in your life, but also collectively as a church, is not meant to be wasted and forgotten, but it's actually to fuel the future of your life and the future of this church to the things that God wants you to pursue. They fuel your trust in God's faithfulness. Because those moments, as I said, that shape your faith in your walk with the Lord, we all have them. Maybe you just came to Christ within the last week or two or month. And man, it's been a significant time in your life in beginning your relationship with Jesus. Maybe you've been praying something from a long time and you've seen God work. Maybe you're praying and going through something right now and God hasn't answered your prayer, but you're experiencing his peace in a supernatural way to give you the power to actually walk through that faithfully. Whatever those moments are that have shaped and are shaping your faith, man, they can easily become faded memories. So here's the idea that I want you to get today. If you get one thing, I want you to get this: that God's past faithfulness fuels present trust and future obedience. That the faithfulness that God has done already in your life is actually meant to fuel your present trust in him and whatever you're going through today, and also your future obedience. And so how do we make sure that that's a reality in our life? I want to give you three ways, and here's the first one. Man, you've got to step forward in faith. You've got to keep stepping forward in faith. So look at chapter 3, and let's read actually verses 13 through 17. It says this: when the soles, this is God speaking to Joshua, when the soles of the feet of the priests bearing the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off from flowing, and the waters coming down from above shall stand in one heap. So when the people set out from their tents to pass over the Jordan with the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and as soon as those bearing the Ark had come as far as the Jordan, and the feet of the priests bearing the Ark were dipped into the brink of the water. Now, there's just a little caveat statement here that we're going to talk about here in a moment, where Joshua's just going to give us some context about this Jordan River. He says, now the Jordan overflows all its banks throughout the time of the harvest. We'll talk about the significance of that, verse 16. And the waters coming down from above stood and rose up in a heap very far away at Adam, the city that is beside Zarethan. And those flowing down from the Sea of the Arabah, the Salt Sea, were completely cut off. and the people passed over opposite Jericho. Now the priest bearing the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firmly on, can you say those two words with me? On what? Dry ground in the midst of the Jordan. And all Israel was passing over on dry ground until all the nation finished passing over the Jordan. How do you make sure that God's past faithfulness fuels your present trust and future obedience? Listen, church, you got to step forward in faith. Here's a question I asked when I first read this, and I asked myself it again this week when I was thinking about being with you all tonight. Why didn't God move the river until those priests moved forward in faith? He could have done it at any time, right? I mean, after all, he parted it, so he could have done it anytime he wished. But why didn't God move the river until they took a step forward in faith? Why? I think there's two reasons. Here's the first one. Because God wants faith that moves. That's what God wants from you. He doesn't want faith that's stagnant. He wants your faith to move forward. Because if you look over and over again in the Bible, and chances are in your life, here's what you'll find this principle, that faith moves before you see the miracle most often. If we saw the miracle before we moved, then what faith would there be, right? But faith always moves before the miracle. Now, I mentioned verse 15 as being a significant statement. Because it says again, now the Jordan, it's almost like Joshua's like, oh, by the way, let me just give you some context on what's going on with the Jordan River right now. And he says, now the Jordan overflows its banks throughout the harvest season. So here's the significance of that. During most of the year, the Jordan River was about 100 feet wide. So that's still pretty wide, but not significantly when you're thinking about a river, right? 100 feet wide. But at the spring flood season, the time that they're crossing now, the river overflowed its banks and became a mile wide. From 100 feet to a mile wide. And God didn't choose the children of Israel to cross this Jordan River when it was only 100 feet wide. He said, no, 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 we're going to cross this thing when it's a mile wide, when it seems absolutely impossible that anyone could do it. Why? Because God wants faith to move when it seems impossible. Man, I wish that wasn't the case. I wish when God asked me to step out in faith that oftentimes it would be like, not a big deal. Yeah, God, I'll absolutely do that. But more often times than not, when God wants to shape my faith to fuel my present trust and future obedience, what will he ask me to do? He'll ask me to take a step of faith when things seem impossible. And I just want us to stop for a moment on this significant Sunday night for the church, but also I want you to think about your life because you're a part of this place. And I want you to remember, what's a moment when God asked you to make a move before he made a way? What is it? Think about it. And what I hope is that whatever God has brought to mind, it's been a long time since you've thought about that. Because even though it may have been a long time ago, let me tell you something, God's faithfulness has a lot of mileage. So it's never going to be wasted. It's that moment that God will actually use to tell you, you can trust me right now. And it'll be that moment that you can say, you know what? I can trust that God's going to be faithful in the future. Why didn't God move the river until they moved? Because God wants faith that moves. Here's the second reason. Because God wants your faith to influence others. It's not just about you and it's not just about me. Why do I say that? Look at verse 17 again, because I know we read a pretty lengthy passage of scripture, but I don't want us to miss this. He says, now the priests bearing the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firmly on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan. But this is what I want you to see. And all Israel was passing over on dry ground until all the nation finished passing over the Jordan. So just think about this. There the priests are. And they got the ark of the covenant with them, symbolizing the presence of God that's with them, that's leading them. And they're told they got to step their feet into the Jordan River before God does anything. So they take a step of faith. And as they do that, the waters begin to part. And then every one of those children of Israel are passing by them. Think about how awesome that must have been for those priests. We took a step of faith that allowed everybody else to pass by. Now, I ask myself, I wonder how many people were a part of Israel during the time that this took place. Like, how long were those priests standing there? And actually, I was reminded that actually we get an idea of how many. So there were approximately 2 to 2.5 million people. So I hope those priests did leg day, you know, have been doing leg day for a while, because they're standing for a long time holding the Ark of the Covenant. Why do I say that? Let me give you some reasons why that number is believed to be true. Because in Numbers 26:51, we have a record of a count of Israel of 601,730 fighting age men of age 20 and above. So we're given that number. So when you add women and children and probably the elderly, scholars typically multiply that number by 3 to 4, which leads us to that many people. So let's say there are a few hundred thousand more than what they're actually, that's a lot of people. But my point is this, when God calls us to step out in faith, here's what we rarely think of. We rarely think of the impact that will have on so many other people behind us. These Israelites, these priests are standing there, and let's not make them superhuman, godlike. They're probably thinking to themselves, man, I sure hope this works. And they're standing there, and all of a sudden the waters, and they just see family and person and elderly and teenagers, and they're passing by. Why? Because they took a step of faith. And why didn't God part the waters a different way? Because he wants a faith that moves. And he wants us to understand that our faith influences others. A few stepped into the water, but a nation walked into their promise. So I'm going to do something that's probably a little awkward for you, but we're gonna take this moment and we're not going to waste it. Because after all, we're talking about making the most of what God has done. So I want Miriam and Matt to stand. We got Matt's kids in the house. If we don't, that's okay. But I want Matt and Miriam to stand. Here's what I want to emphasize. I know Matt's going to hate this and Miriam are going to hate this. But it's important that we do this. So we are here today because of Jesus Christ. So don't hear me say something that I'm not saying. But Matt actually mentioned it, and he had no idea what I was going to be talking about in terms of illustrations. He knew what I was going to be preaching about. Okay, I'm a good guy. I run it past him. But nevertheless, we're here today because the McCarthy family took a step of faith, right? So can we give them a hand tonight? So I want you guys to keep standing. Don't. All right, this is going to be awkward, but other people are going to start standing, okay? It won't be as awkward. But I don't want to lose sight of that. And I don't want you guys to lose sight of that. Like, everything that God has done over the history of this church is because you have a family who said, this is what God's calling us to do, and it's scary. I've planted before. It's scary. You're not sure what's going to happen, but you take that step of faith. Why? Because the step of faith requires a faith that moves, but it's also motivated because of what it'll do in other people's lives. Now, if you're in the room tonight, and you were a part of that group that met across the street when the church started in Wesleyan Christian Academy's chapel, I want you to stand. We got people in the room? Can we give these people a hand today, tonight? Now, I want you guys to stay standing. Like, this doesn't happen enough, so you better relish it, okay? So now, if you were a part of the church when it moved into their first building next to Furniture Land, I want you to stand. Come on. Can we give these people a hand? Well, let me just stop. I want you guys to stay standing. Because every person that's standing here, and some of you I know better than others, you know, I've played golf miserably with some of you, and, you know, Daniel's back there. He coached my daughter in basketball. I know some of you better than others, but I recognize most of these faces. Like, I just don't want us to lose sight of what God has done in you, but also through you, through your sacrifice, setting up and tearing down, giving financially of your resources so that this church could continue. Another work day that you've done to do this. Now you're moving again. I just don't want us to. Now, the rest of you, I want you to stand as well. So everybody stand. Everybody should be standing by this point. So let's give everybody a hand. Come on. Here's why. Because this is a moment for you. Like, only the people that are a part of this church during this season are going to remember God's faithfulness, that God allowed a generous church to say, you can use our space, and we're just meeting down the road. We're not going to see you as competition, but we're going to see ourselves in this together, and you're going to say, hey, I was a part of City Light Church when we had to meet on Sunday nights for a few months. And now you're into that building, that beautiful building that God has provided, and you're in that building 2 years from now, 3 years from now. Here's my point. How do we make sure that we remember God's past faithfulness so that it fuels our present trust and our future obedience? Man, we've got to step out in faith. And every one of you have done that. All right, everybody can be seated. Here's the second thing that I want us to just look at, and how do we make sure God's past faithfulness fuels our present trust and future obedience? And we've got to stack stones of remembrance. We've got to stack stones of remembrance. Can I just say this as well? It's a privilege, City Light, to be the few who get to do the much so that so many can be blessed. Those priests got to be the few who got to see much so that 2.5 million people could cross the Jordan River. And I don't want you to lose sight that God is used and is using and will use every one of you. But this is a significant moment in the life of the church. So that compels us to do what? Man, we've got to stack stones. Why do I say that? Look at verse chapter 4 of Joshua 4, verses 4 through 7. So they've crossed the Jordan River. Now Joshua says this. Then Joshua called the 12 men from the people of Israel, whom he had appointed a man from each tribe. And Joshua said to them, pass on before the ark of the Lord your God in the midst of the Jordan, and take up each of you a stone upon his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the people of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask in time to come, what do these stones mean to you? That you shall tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and when it passed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordans were cut off, so that these stones shall be to the people of Israel a memorial forever. God commands Joshua and the people of Israel to not allow this miracle to become a faded memory. So he calls them to make it a memorial. Did God need to remember? Absolutely not. It wasn't for God that he called them to do this. It was for them. Memories matter. I am not a sentimental person. Lori could tell you that with most things. But I have learned that celebration is a discipline. Memories matter because your memory and mine fades. So how do you stack stones of remembrance? Can I give you three practical ways? These aren't found in the text, but just three practical ways. Man, write it down. Write it down. I'm not a super sentimental person. I would love to tell you this tonight, that I journal pages of in my journal every morning. I don't. But I found the significance, in spite of me not being drawn to that, that I've got to write down significant moments when God has done significant things in my life, because I'll forget. Those memories will fade. Here's another thing you do. Man, you share it. Now, social media has its wins. This is actually one of the wins. Because I'll get on my social media, hey, this happened 5 years ago. This happened 3 years ago. And nobody ever posts bad stuff. So whatever is going to come across your feed is always going to be amazing things, right? Everybody makes their life seem amazing all the time on social media. But share it. Share it. Post pictures. Recognize things. Share it around your table. Tell your kids. Don't waste those moments and then celebrate it. Man, celebrate it with others. And can I encourage you in this? There's no stone too small not to celebrate. Because some of us might think, well, Johnny, no, God's not really done any massive significant thing in my life. I mean, I didn't take a step forward to start a church. Or, you know, I wasn't cured from cancer. Or, you know, God didn't rescue my son or daughter from some crazy experience. So oftentimes what we do is we minimize our stones. But no stone is too small that God doesn't want you to celebrate. See, what God has done, what has God done in your life? Let me ask you this. What has God done in your life that you haven't stopped long enough to remember? What is it? What is it? And you just kept going, man. On to the next thing, on to the next thing. What's the next mountain to climb? What's the next thing to check off the box on my list? And sometimes we lose sight. Man, our prayer list is long, but our stone list is small. Not because God hasn't answered, but because we haven't taken the time to remember. What is it? Because what I want to encourage us with tonight is don't make God's miracles become invisible. Man, we've got to stack stones. You've got some stones as a church that you can stack collectively. And they won't be the last stones you stack. But you've got stones in your life that God wants you to stack that can testify to God's faithfulness. Here's the third thing. How do you make sure God's past faithfulness fuels your present trust and your future obedience? Number three, man, you've got to share stories that inspire. Share stories that inspire. Look at chapter 4, verses 20 through 24. Joshua says this, and those 12 stones which they took out of the Jordan, Joshua set up at Gilgal. And he said to the people of Israel, when your children ask their fathers in times to come, what do these stones mean? Then you shall let your children know. Israel passed over this Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan for you until you passed over. And as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up for us until we passed over, so that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty and that you fear the Lord your God forever. Let me just tell you, anything that God has done in your life has been done because he's committed to grow your faith more than you are. Those things have also been done by God Almighty. For what purpose? What is found in verse 24, so that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty and that you may fear the Lord your God forever. God's work in your life is never meant to be private. It's never. It's meant to be passed on. It's what it's meant to do. The next generation won't know unless you tell them. Parents, you have things in your life that maybe are things that you're actually shameful of, that maybe you don't want to share because you're like, holy cow, if I share this, my kids will want to do this. And obviously we exercise wisdom in that, but there's probably parts of that story where God intervened and did a miracle out of your mess that your kids actually need to know about, that they won't know otherwise. That a story of how God got you through something is going to make a much more impact on me telling a story of how God got me through something. There's going to be a generation of this church that won't know what you've walked through up to this point. And you know what they need to hear? They need to hear, hey, when someone's like, man, I don't know. I don't know how we're going to make budget this year. I don't know what God's going to do. You can say, you know what? Let me just tell you about all the ways that God's been faithful to City Light over the years. What God does in our life is never meant to be private. It's meant to be passed on. City Light, spouses in this room, parents in this room, mentors in this room, leaders in this room, don't assume the next generation of this church, the next generation in your home, those in your life circle, those in your workplace, those who are your neighbors, that they are going to be able to see everything that God has done in your life without you telling them. You know, when you go to your website, I don't know when the last time you have been to your own church's website, right? If I'm going to think of the last time I've been to Salem Chapel's website, it's been a while. But I went to your website this week, And on the page is this phrase, City Light's mission is people. And I love that. Because even though we emphasize tonight that, man, God has provided this amazing building. I mean, I remember having the privilege of going and looking at that building with Matt and some of the leaders in the church, and then sitting around a round table in a chapel area across the street at Wesleyan Christian Academy, talking about, is God in this? And thinking about that and listening to the men of this church, the leaders of this church, talk about that. I remember that. And I remember telling Matt, like, man, Matt, this would be amazing. But Matt saying, man, only God's going to have to do a miracle for this to happen. But I also don't want us to get sidetracked and think that the building is the mission. That's why I love what it says on the site. People are the mission. The building's just a tool. The building's just a shell. It doesn't become a church until people gather into it. But can I encourage you? You have a story. And the enemy wants you to minimize that story. But every person's story is a story of grace and a story of love, that God Almighty rescued you from your sin and brought you into an everlasting relationship with Him through His life, death, and resurrection. You have a story. And what God wants for you is He wants you to share that story with someone else. Why? Because it will inspire them to believe of what is possible by God in them. And so that's why we're called to make disciples. Listen, if you're expecting the pastoral staff of this church to fill that church, we're thinking wrongly. God wants to use every person in this room to have an impact in someone else's life, to bring people to Jesus, to disciple them in how to walk with Jesus, to be able to see people be inspired to take steps of faith that are miraculous steps and to see God intervene. City Light, this is an awesome time for you. And I'm privileged that God would allow me to be with you on this last Sunday night. But can I just close by asking these three questions? What Jordan River has God brought you through that you need to remember again? Second question, what stones have you left unstacked? That God's like, hey, I've given you some stones, man. And I want you to stack them. Not to make much of you, but to make much of me in and through you. Third question, I wonder who's waiting to hear your story so that they can trust God with theirs. Just three questions to consider tonight. City Light, thank you so much for allowing me the privilege to be with you. We are praying for you. We love you. And man, I am so excited about what God is going to continue to do in and through you as a church. Can you stand with me and can we pray tonight? God, I thank you tonight for the privilege to be able to worship you. God, I thank you for what you have brought this church up to this point, the miracles that you've done, the ways that you provided, the lives that have been changed, the souls that have been saved, the marriages that have been restored. Lord, I thank you for all the amazing things that you have done. And God, I hope that everybody in here has been reminded by you of ways that you have worked in their life. God, may we continue to step out in faith, to stack stones, and to share stories of how you have and are changing our life. In Jesus' name, amen.